Hi, I'm Jay Shubrook, DO, family physician and diabetologist at Touro University, California. We're going to continue our series on practical insulin use for primary care. Today, I'm happy to be talking with Amber Healy, DO, internist and diabetologist at the Diabetes Institute at Ohio University. Welcome, Amber.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So many of my patients will progress from oral therapies to insulin. And they might be taking one, two, or even three oral therapies. But that time when it's time to switch into insulin gets a little bit confusing for me. How do you progress from oral therapies to insulin?
I do something similar. Generally, my patients are on 2 to 3 oral agents before adding insulin. It depends on some of their comorbidities and what meds they may have tried in the past and how well they're responding to their current medication.
Okay. Are there any medications that you really try to keep on even though you're starting insulin?
I really try to keep metformin on unless there's some contraindication to the patient, like their kidney function, their liver function being decreased, or if they have an ejection fraction of less than 30% when it comes to their heart function. Medications that I like to stop when people go on insulin are things like the secretagogues, sulfonylureas especially.
Okay. So why do you keep metformin on? My patients always ask. It sounds like to them that it's not working well enough.
Metformin has multiple benefits. It not only is it an insulin sensitizer that is, and some people will lead to some weight loss, but it also has some anti-cancer properties that have been found. And a benefit of leaving it on when you're adding insulin is sometimes you need less insulin in the patient to get the same control.
So it has a benefit even beyond its glycemic effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you had mentioned that you stopped the sulfonylureas and other secretagogues. What's your concern there?
My concern is that the patient will have problems with hypoglycemia because secretagogues force the pancreas to secrete more insulin. And when you have that endogenous insulin on top of your exogenous insulin, it can be too much for somebody and lead to a low blood sugar.
So what are your triggers for insulin? Because, you know, one of the things that I always worry about is we wait too long before we start insulin. When do you know to transition from orals to insulin?
Generally, if the A1C is over 8.5 and we've tried other meds that haven't worked out well, I'll go to insulin. Sometimes when the patient is newer to me and their A1C is in the 10s or even in the 9s, and they're being sent to me for the first time by their primary care doctor, insulin is just the best thing because of its benefit to breaking that glucotoxicity cycle that is so hard to improve in people that have been uncontrolled for so long.
Yeah, I find that that's really important, that you can spend a lot of time on oral therapy and not make much progress, but insulin is certainly the most potent of all the medications. So, what about adding oral medications after they're already on insulin? I get that question a lot. Is there any role to add oral therapies after they're on insulin?
Yes, there is. I've had patients that have come in on huge quantities of insulin, and they're not getting any control. And sometimes with the correct oral or sometimes even injectable like a GLP-1, you can decrease the amount of insulin they require or even make their insulin more effective for them and improve their glycemic control. I had a patient that was almost on 200 units of insulin, and he was coming to me because they wanted me to put him on U500. It was an older gentleman. I put him on pioglitazone. And he ended up requiring less insulin once he was put on the pioglitazone and didn't require the concentrated insulin. I've also done that in a patient that was on a fair amount of insulin. I tried one of the SGLT2s, and he had finally seen blood sugars under 200 that he hadn't seen in years.
That's a really good point. So that, you know, we typically will go for a couple oral therapies, then we start insulin. we may want to keep the insulin sensitizer metformin on for the non-glycemic benefits. But even once people are on insulin, particularly for type 2, adding an insulin sensitizer like pioglitazone or even an SGLT2 might reduce the insulin burden.
Right.
That's great. That's great. And how do patients feel about adding orals once they've been on insulin?
A lot of them are receptive to it because they get tired of taking such large quantities of insulin. And some of them will even ask, is there anything else I can take to improve my diabetes? And, you know, that's a great time for you to have those types of discussions with your patients. And I always take those opportunities to say, hey, have you ever been on this? And we talk about the risks and the benefits. And a lot of times they're willing to try it. And then when they come back, they're really satisfied.
That's great. So if I heard correctly, you know, when you transition from orals to insulin, sometimes those orals stay on board, particularly if they're not going to contribute to hypoglycemia. And we need to continue to think about using oral therapies after insulin to reduce the insulin burden and to get some other non-glycemic benefits.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, thank you so much today for your insight and your contributions, and keep up the great work you're doing with your patients.
Thank you.